is the day which the Lord has made. We will
rejoice.
Amen. It's time to rejoice. And 2 weeks ago I had a message series and it said, to rejoice is a choice. Today's message is hope is everything. Hope is everything. And I talked several weeks ago about sometimes we may be the only hope our friends or our family see. So we have to be hope for people. We were in Habakkuk a couple of weeks ago. Today, if you'll turn to Zephaniah, chapter 1 is where we'll start. It's just at the tail end of the Old Testament. Not quite the last, but almost at the very end of the Old Testament. And we'll want to turn there. Zephaniah, like Habakkuk, was a prophet. And as often the case, they started a... he was going for a religious reform in the land. It kind of ran out of gas after about 50 years. How many can relate? Okay, you get to about 50 years and you start running out of gas. Well, that's what happened to the reform. And I know that in our own lives, as we go and look for our spiritual journey and our walk with Christ... You said in your testimony this morning, after, if you've been here 15, 20 years, it doesn't matter. Don't think I can't do this. If you haven't experienced a rebirth, I don't care how old you are, it's time to get born again. If you haven't experienced baptism, it's time to be baptized. If you haven't experienced accepting Christ, it's time to ask the questions and say, what is this about? It's time, church. It's time. After 50 years, we may run out of gas. We need some reminders. Now, I'm going to kind of skip through here. There's only three chapters in Zephaniah. And I'm going to go through these. And we're not going to read every verse, but we're going to read most of them. And we're going to start in verse 2 of chapter 1 in Zephaniah. And it says, I will utterly consume everything from the face of the land. Hope is alive. What does that mean? I will consume man and beast. I will consume the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, and the stumbling blocks along with the wicked. I will cut off man from the face of the land, says the Lord. I've often read these type of scriptures and said, where is the hope in that that we would have? Poor humanity, what chance do we have with hope? With scripture like that, it sounds like he means it, right? Stumbling blocks, idolatry. And the stumbling blocks along with the wicked, I will consume, he says in verse 3. Verse 5 and 6, and he says, those who worship the host of heaven on the housetops, those who worship and swear oaths by the Lord, but also who swear by Milcom, those who have turned back from following the Lord and have not sought the Lord, nor inquired of him. When was the last time you faced a crisis in your life and you sought the Lord, not your friends? I'm just saying. My Lord, I've got a crisis. Let me get on Facebook and tell the world. Oh my gosh, I hope one of them remembers to tell God about it. Maybe y'all could pray about it. There's nothing wrong with saying, Facebook, pray for my situation. But don't forget to pray yourself. Talk to the Lord yourself. Who better to explain your situation to God than you? Well, but God will know the truth. My friends, I can slide it a little bit to be in my favor. But God, he's going to call me out because he knows it all. You got that right. Those that turned away from following the Lord. After 50 years... It wore out. After 50 years, it ran out of gas. Have we run out of gas? Well, I've been following the Lord for a good 2 years. Waiting on Him to work in my life. Where are you going to church? Well, you know, God and I, we just meet at our home, right there in my living room. I'm probably half the time in your bedroom with your head on the pillow, just looking up at Him, right? Lord, do not turn your back from following God. Young people, person, people. Do not turn your back on God. He says, don't do this. Those who have not sought the Lord nor inquired of Him. Young people and older people, turn to God and seek Him. He says, when you seek me, you will what? You will find me. Verse 7, be silent in the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand, for the Lord has prepared a sacrifice, and He has invited His guest. He invited His guest. But listen to this, and it shall be in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children, and all such as are clothed with foreign apparel. In the same day I will punish all those who leap over the threshold, who fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. He will invite you, and then He will utterly destroy you. Adam, thank you for that message of hope today. I can go home refreshed and renewed, knowing that the Lord is going to invite me and utterly destroy me. I'm telling you, it's right here. The prophet Zephaniah got it from the Lord and said it. It says right here, says the Lord. I haven't even got to the good part yet. Verse 12 says this, and it shall come to pass at the time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men who are settled in complacency, who say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, nor will He do evil. He's just a so-so God. He doesn't punish people. He doesn't do anything good. He's just there. Nor will He do evil. Man, church. It says in verse 12, the Lord will search where? It says He will search the dark places. I will go and search Jerusalem with lamps. That means He's looking in the dark corners, those areas we try and keep secret from Him. He is searching those out and He's bringing His light. By the way, He's still doing that with a different light. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to the earth to be light to a dark world. And the New Testament tells us, and many people rejected that because they preferred to be in the dark than in the light. Oh, I believe we speak of that right below that. He will punish the men who are settled in complacency. Complacency. I'm going to flip over. You can go there with me if you want. Revelation, last book of the Bible. Let's talk about complacency. Those that are settled, hanging out there in a so-so area. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 through 16. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. I will vomit you out of my mouth for being lukewarm, for being complacent, for being mediocre, adequate. He says, I know your works. Church, we had better get connected, plugged in, on board, whatever you want to call it, to the message, first of all, of Jesus Christ, and then to serving Him, and then to allowing Him to be Lord of your life. And let me tell you, that's a sacrifice, because you have to give up your life for Him, and you have to give up your wants and desires for His will. My Lord is a young adult. What could the Lord possibly have better than what we're doing? inquire of him. And then listen. But we'd better get connected soon. You have trials. You have setbacks. You have tribulations. Have you ever thought it could be based on your lukewarm response to your God? It could be based on your lukewarm faith walk. I go out walking every day, almost, except when it's cold, dark, rainy, nasty, cold, hot, whatever. Oh, so your walk that you do every day is really just when it's convenient to you. Your faith walk is the same thing. Well, sometimes the path is not clear. Inquire of him. And then listen. Your complacency, we just read, says he will punish you in your complacency. You may be watching right now on Facebook. You're settling in complacency. He will punish that. There's a moment we'll talk about it. He says, it's time to gather together, church. I realize we're in the middle of this COVID-19 business. We have hand sanitizer. We have masks. We can separate you out. It's time to gather together. Now your complacency, it could be what? It could be your attendance, your giving, your praying, your caring, your loving, your serving. I don't know what it is, but your complacency, it says he will seek that out and he will punish it. And God says, I'm going to look with a light. I'm bringing a light in and I'm going to search for those. Now I read, just in case anyone said, I'm sorry, Pastor, I didn't know what complacency meant, so I didn't know how to get out of it. I'm glad you asked. One definition for complacency says, a feeling of quiet pleasure or security. Now listen to this. Often while unaware of some potential danger, defect, or the like. A feeling of quiet pleasure or security, oftentimes unaware of potential danger, defect, or the like. Church, you have been told, you have been warned. He says, I will seek out those that are settled in complacency and I will punish them. You are no longer unaware. Check that box. You are now fully aware of complacency. Going forward, having been warned, you will simply be what? Unwilling. I don't want to be a part of that. Unwillingness to serve God and bow down to Him. By the way, if you're still in Revelation chapter 3, verse 8 through 13 says this. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have little strength. You who have little strength have kept my word and have not denied my name. By the way, now he's talking about the faithful church. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Oh my gosh, all those people that lie to him, he's going to show them his love for you because you have been faithful. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which will come upon, what? The whole world. To test those who dwell on earth. Behold, I am coming quickly, he says. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name my God, and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. The faithful church, he will uphold you. He talks about those that are lying about who and what they are. Zach, you talked this morning. I feel like I've been lying. But let me tell you the type of man Zach is. He'll stand up there and tell you that. He'll confess that. And he told me that. Hey, I haven't been true to you. And I don't want to be there. He knows he does not want to be in that place. Kisha, you said we never know if tomorrow will come. Good grief, isn't that a Garth Brooks song? If tomorrow never comes? And it may not. We know that. We've experienced that in this church and in our families and in our communities and our country and the world. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. All right, back to Zephaniah. We're done with Revelation. We have to know that we cannot continue to be complacent, church. He says in chapter 1, verse 17, and he goes on to say, I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men. This distress, when he shows up, will be so quick, it'll be like the lights are out, and all of a sudden you can no longer see where you are. You may be familiar with where some things are around the home. In the dark, so you don't stub your toe and whatever, and you can gauge how far. And I know basically right where my doorknob is. Here, I can go out in the hallway when it's dark. I can do those things. But this darkness, you will not be able to tell where you're going. And he says, because they have sinned against the Lord, their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like refuse. Listen to verse 18. It says, neither their silver nor gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he will make speedy riddance of all those who dwell in the land. Neither silver nor gold shall be able to deliver them. Now, I don't know if you guys remember, but when I talked in Habakkuk 2 weeks ago in chapter 2, verse 18 and 19, we talked about the idols, and it said, your idol has no breath. It is dead. These things that you have cannot buy you out of this situation. They cannot deliver you out of this situation in verse 18. Change over to chapter 2. You may not have to turn the page, sorry. Going to chapter 2, verse 1. It says, gather yourselves together. Yes, gather together. Church, it's time to gather together again. I realize that there are some things that keep us or keep certain ones from being here. But in general, it's time to gather together. Yes, gather together. And it says, before the decree is issued or the day passes like chaff, it's time to gather together. Before the Lord's fierce anger comes upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger comes upon you, seek the Lord. Again, inquire of him. Seek him, all you meek of the earth who have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness and humility. God, are you telling me I've got to humble myself in front of people? But I'm a big shot. I'm a hot shot. I'm a know-it-all. Humbling myself just makes me seem weak. Seek righteousness. Seek humility. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. And the one that hides you will be him, not you. Now we're going to skip way over to chapter 3. Last chapter. By the way, when we read of the lukewarm church and the faithful church, I'd want to be a part of the faithful church any day. I'd want to be a faithful person rather than a lukewarm person any day. Because hot or cold, settling for complacency, he's going to vomit me out every time. Now it says in chapter 3, verse 8, I know that cry, he wants his grandfather Adam. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Boy, these grandchildren can become an obsession quickly. Chapter 3, verse 8. Therefore, wait for me, says the Lord, until the day I rise up for plunder. My determination is to gather the nations to my assembly of kingdoms, to pour on them my indignation, all my fierce anger. Better watch out for that one. Chapter or verse 9 says, For then I will restore to the peoples a pure language. Hope is everything. Then I will restore to people a pure language, that they may all call on the name of the Lord to serve Him with one accord. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshipers, the daughter of my dispersed one, shall bring my offering. In that day you shall not be shamed for any of your deeds. Oh, my Lord, there is a God that will forgive you for any of your deeds. He says, all I need you to do is ask for my forgiveness, and I will forgive you. By the way, when others ask you to forgive them, you had better share with them that same forgiveness that I showed you, or I will not acknowledge you in front of others. In that day you shall not be shamed for any of your deeds. Church, there's hope for us in that. In which you transgress against me, for then I will take away from your midst those who rejoice in your pride, and you shall no longer be haughty in my holy mountain. I will leave in your midst a meek and humble people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall do no unrighteousness and speak no lies, nor shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed their flocks and lie down, and no one shall make them afraid. I love that we have hope, that we don't have to be afraid in this day and time. Now, 2 weeks ago when I read out of Habakkuk, however you want to pronounce it again, that lined up with what's going on today. Oh my goodness, they turned on TV back in the day and they saw all this stuff going on. He said, why do you make me see that? We turn on TV and the stuff we see, it breaks our heart, it makes us sad, it makes us mad. And it lined up. Why did I read it? Because it's relevant today. Why are we in Zephaniah? Because it is relevant today. By the way, are people still settling in complacency in the church? Absolutely. I'm just trying to count the chairs we have available for the complacent people. And churches throughout the world have space for the complacent. God says, man, I have sent my son. He said, and here he said, I'm going to come looking with a light. And then when he sent his son Jesus Christ, he said, I have now sent the light of the world. And he's still shining his light in the dark corners. By the way, church, we are the ones that take that light to the dark corners. We are to make disciples and go to the ends of the earth, taking that light of Jesus Christ with us, so that we may expose people in their darkness and in their sin. But expose him for what? For transformation. To be born again. To have forgiveness. To find forgiveness. To find value in their life. Some of you may not find value in your life because no one's spoke that into your life. I listened to something the other day, and it was a well-known pastor making fun of another well-known pastor. And I thought, you know, I think of the thousands of lives that have been transformed by these internationally known pastors. And I just thought, I don't get to sit on a throne and judge them if lives have been changed and transformed. Now, they have to answer for their ministry and their teachings. Pastors, we have to answer for our ministries and our teaching. Teachers, leaders, we have to answer for our teaching and leading other people. But when lives are changed and transformed, I can't get in the middle of that. But he says, we have to take that light to the ends of the earth. I'll close with this, verse 16 and 17. The band's going to come up, and we're going to talk about, we're going to sing Reckless Love again. And I love this song, because it says, there is no shadow you won't light up. There's no mountain you won't climb up. Coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down. Lie you won't tear down. Coming after me. And he's going to seek you. And he is calling you to come to him. And it says in Zephaniah 3, 16 and 17, it says, in that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear. Zion, let not your hands be weak. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. Hope is everything. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. Do you hear me, church? He will rejoice over you regardless of your situation, regardless of your past. And by the way, I saw her praising and worshiping God this morning. And I saw her jumping around. And I thought, that's what I want a church full of people like. Don't jump on me for that. We want people that feel that spirit and get excited about God. But listen to this. It says, he will quiet you with his love. Now, let me tell you how I read that. He's going to take your mouth and shut it when you experience his love. Because we can be critics without his love. But it says he will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Amen? Let's bow our heads, church. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the hope that you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the hope that you have allowed us to be in the lives of others. Hope in Christ Jesus. Hope in our salvation. Hope in the atonement of our sins. God, you are light and you are hope. Help us, Lord, for those of us that feel that we have settled in a place of complacency. Help us to dig out of that. Father, help us be drawn out of that. Give us strength to climb out of that place. God, we thank you for the strength you can give us. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand and worship with us.